Thanks, Claire. You might want to flip back. We've been looking at that first reading, which was Psalm 1. You might want to flip back there to page 536 so you can see those words in front of you. And as we continue to look at this psalm this week. I hope you've been enjoying this summer series here at St Andrews over the last couple of weeks. What we've been doing over the last couple of weeks as we've been wishing each other a happy new year, we've been asking this question: what does it take to be happy? We wish each other joy and happiness, but and it makes me wonder, how does that happiness come? What would make 2015 a happy year? Is happiness just something that happens to you if you're lucky? Or is it something else, something you do that brings you happiness? Is happiness even possible? And as I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, I just think this is a kind of wonderful time of year to be able to kind of think about those sorts of questions. Now is just a moment we kind of drop out of the normal busyness and hectic, how hectic the life is, and kind of gone is that sort of normal craziness just for a week or two, and you have this moment just to pause and to reflect. You know, probably as you're kind of sweltering there at night, in the middle of the night, trying to get to sleep, you've got a bit of time to think about things, don't you? Doze in front of the cricket. The question is, how do I want to do next year differently? How do I not make the same mistakes again? How might I strike out for a better year in 2015? And that is what I have been wanting us to ponder a little bit in this summer series over the last couple of weeks. And for guidance, we've been looking at this wonderful and ancient bit of wisdom in the Bible, Psalm 1. And we've been trying to mine its riches. Because who better than God? Who better than the author of life to search out these answers from? If anyone knows how life fits together, like a fine bit of IKEA furniture, right? You need the blueprints for those things, don't you? Who better than to turn to for the blueprints than God himself? Surely it's him. So let's have a look at Psalm 1 again. Blessed is the one who does these things, Psalm 1 says. The word there is blessed, which of course incorporates the idea of happiness. But it's not just that simple kind of smile and be happy sort of happiness. It's something much deeper. The word blessed captures something richer and deeper than just that superficial sort of idea. It's a deep-rooted satisfaction and contentedness that the Bible is talking about when it talks about blessedness. Joy is actually often the word that is used by Christians to express this kind of deep gladness at the heart of your being, which will stay there even despite the hard times, the storms that may come in your life. This is the happiness that this psalm is holding out here. And so over the last few weeks, we've seen a number of things about that blessedness. So firstly, that it is possible, right? It is possible. A lot of people think, a lot of younger people might think, oh, well, yeah, of course it does. You know, of course happiness, it comes naturally, it comes easily. Actually, it doesn't, the Bible wants to say. Older people can tend to kind of conclude at the end of their life, no, happiness, it's not possible. But no, the Bible is saying it's possible. So that's the first thing we've seen. The Bible holds out this blessedness as a possibility. The second thing we began to see is how this happiness comes. How does it come? Well, firstly, it doesn't just come through your circumstances. It comes from who you are. See, often a lot of people look for happiness to come in the change of their circumstance. If only I could win the lotto, right? Then I'd be happy. If only I could get that promotional raise at work, then I would be happy. If only I could find that someone special in my life, then I'd be happy. But the Bible says, no, happiness doesn't come from your circumstances. If you're waiting for your circumstances to bring happiness, you'll never be happy. Rather, happiness comes from who you are. It comes from how you're rooted and planted in life. It comes from being deeply rooted in the things of God. He is the one who is able to satisfy. He is the one who can keep you satisfied, even through some of the driest of seasons. And then thirdly, last week, what we saw is that happiness is something that comes not directly, but indirectly. This is one of the great paradoxes of happiness. If you set your heart's goal, your whole life's purpose on just being happy, Happiness will elude you. You need to aim for something else. And what the Bible says, what Psalm 1 says, is you need to aim and seek first God and His kingdom in your life. And then what you will find is He'll give you that. If you know the words, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. God will give you that and happiness to boot, to go with that. So they are some of the great weeks, some of the great things we've seen looking at this word of God so far in Psalm 1. And if you've missed those and you'd like to follow up on that, those sermons will be on our website and you can download them and listen to them when you want to. But for now, I just want to continue mining this psalm this morning and to keep asking, how does this happiness come? Because there's one more thing I think this psalm shows us that I think is really, really helpful for us. And this week, the final thing I want to see is that happiness isn't something that happens to you. It's something you choose. Happiness is something you choose. See, I think many people often think happiness is actually something that's out of your hands, out of your control, and it's something that just happens to you. So this time of year, as an example, one of the things I like to do for a bit of a chuckle is to look up my horoscope. Anybody do that? Look up your horoscope. I hope you don't actually waste your time doing these sorts of things. Don't put up your hands in it. So this is what I looked. And so where's my wife? I looked up our horoscope for our love life, right? Love in 2005 for couples. So here we go. It's a highly passionate year when tempers could flare and or deeper, stronger bonds could be formed. Sounds interesting. Actually, that's a bet both ways, isn't it? Right? Tempers could flare and or stronger bond. They're like that, aren't they? A bet both ways. The most magical period may be the first half of February, culminating when Venus conjuncts Neptune on February 1st. The two of you may have never cherished one another as much as you will then. Let yourself be swept off your feet all over again, no matter how long you've been together. That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? The solar eclipse of September 13th should be a practical as well as sweet time. Make big joint decisions then. Note to self, ask her then about new laptop. Fantastic. And it goes on and on. As I said, I hope you don't waste your time and money on things like that, like I just have, really. What is interesting to notice, though, is this idea that happiness is not something within your control. It's something out there, isn't it? It's in the stars. It's something that happens to you. Also, just think about this other bit of wisdom that someone has penned. And please join in if you want to. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? This is what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. Right? It's interesting, isn't it? This persisting idea that it's not within your control. There's something out there. That something just happens to you. You may be a bit older and you may sing Que sera, sera. You may be a bit younger and say Hakuna Matata. It's the same idea, isn't it? This persisting idea amongst us that think happiness is something that happens to you. It may come, it may not come. Do you think in terms of being lucky or unlucky? Do you think I'm having a bit of a run of bad luck at the moment? Or I feel like things are about to change for the better? It's the same idea. I want to share with you this morning that this is not at all what the Bible presents. Happiness, blessedness, is not something that just happens to you. God's word, Psalm 1 says, happiness, blessedness is something you can choose. And you should choose. What Psalm 1 will say is that it comes when you choose to turn away from one thing and you choose to turn to something else. This is the picture of Psalm 1. Just have a look at it. Do you notice how Psalm 1 starts off? It starts off with these negatives of what you are to turn away from. See what it says? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Right, if you think of, and you look carefully at those verbs, walk, stand, sit, it's really talking about and trying to catch the idea of the activity of your life. It's asking, where is your intellect? Who are you listening to? Who are you spending time with? It's asking about your behaviour. How do you walk through your life? What are you doing? And what it's saying, if you want to be happy, God says you have to ask, where have I taken my stand in life? Where is my heart and allegiance? What dreams are you chasing? And it's saying you have to start there. You have to start with that question, because to attain happiness, it's not just something you can kind of add on to your life, as if happiness is some new accessory for your iPhone. No, happiness comes from who you are, as we've been seeing over previous weeks. It's how you're rooted. And so you have to uncover your roots, where they're already sunk down. Because what you may need to do is to face up to the fact that you need a total transplant of those roots. Because look where blessedness truly lies. We've had the negative, blessed is the man who does not walk, stand, sit. Now we come to the positive. See what it says? Where must you put down your roots? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessedness comes from having your roots in the things of God. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. Now that can be a bit of a confusing phrase, the law of the Lord. See, that phrase, for many people, you'd think of, well, that's that bit of the Bible where it's got all the rules, doesn't it? The law of the Lord. You know, do not murder, do not lie, do not cheat, do not commit adultery, all those rules. And so it's very easy to kind of get the idea, the message that, well, you do the right thing and then you'll be happy. But it's the good person that's happy. And that's how you need to be happy, by just being good. But that's not actually what it's saying. And if you think that in life it is the good people who prosper, then you are going to be severely disappointed and unhappy. Because the message of the Bible is that life is broken now. It's not the good people who prosper. It's often the wicked people who prosper. It's the wicked people who have the big mansions on the water, isn't it? Who are robbing people and kind of deceiving people. The Bible is saying much more than just do the right thing. What the Bible is calling for is a total change of allegiance. The phrase the law of the Lord is actually talking about that essential overarching message of the Bible, what we might call the good news of the Bible. It's the message, it's the good news that the great, powerful Creator God has a plan to set all these things right. It's a plan to bring joy and fullness into your life. It's a plan that has begun in Jesus, who has died for us to make things right between us and God. It's a plan that will be completed when he returns to say enough to all that is wrong in the world and will bring in something brand new. And it's a plan that says you will be there when you choose to take your stand with Jesus, when you choose to delight in that great message of God. Notice what it says in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, right? It's not just a Christmas and Easter thing, this delight, right? It's not just a Sunday thing. This person can't stop thinking about it. It's day and night, all the time. It's their whole life. So you see the change of heart. You see the change of allegiance that this is calling for. Not standing, not walking, not sitting with the mockers of this message of salvation, but being someone who delights in the message of this salvation. It's to give up on whatever other dreams you have, and you take your stand with Jesus, and your dream is for what he is going to bring. That's a big call, isn't it? So as you seek happiness, you can see why the question, who or what owns you, what is your life about, what are you spending your life in, is such an important question. Because what God has done here is he's given us the end of the story. The story ends with Jesus saying enough to all that is wrong in the world. And it ends with him bringing something brand new. And the question is, are you on board with that? Do you delight in that news? Because you can see, if you root your life in anything else, then you will be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. You are not going to be happy. You're going to suffer loss. Because there is only one way this story is ending. It would be kind of like you knew Australia was going to win the last cricket series, this cricket series against India, but still you bet everything on India. You put your whole life on India. That'd be crazy, isn't it? You're just saying, what are you doing? You're just going to lose it all. God has told us how the story is going to end. So do you see how happiness is not something beyond your grasp? It is something within your grasp. It's a choice to hear the good news of the Bible and to jump on board and throw everything in with Jesus and to then gain everything. Or it's a choice to ignore him and remain the same and lose everything. What are you betting on? And do you think you need a transplant? It sounds scary, doesn't it? Letting God come into your life and own and rule you? That's scary, isn't it? It sounds like a scary thing to do. And maybe then just for a moment, this is where the story of the prodigal son is a beautiful and helpful story to reflect on. Do you remember that second Bible reading we had that Claire read? It's the great famous story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Just remember what it said. There was the son who had left the father. And then he's there in a faraway land. He feels like his life is falling apart. And he wants to come back. He tries to come back. That must have been a scary thing to do, to try and come back to the father after he'd just treated the father the way he had. But this is what he does. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just call me one of your servants. Just make me one of your servants. It's actually the perfect example that reflects what we've been talking about in our whole series. What does he do? He doesn't seek his happiness directly. He doesn't ask for the Father for his happiness and comfort. He just simply seeks to put things right, to make the right choice. He essentially says, I don't deserve anything from you. I owe you. Just be my Lord. I just want to be in your house again. That's what he does. And then what happens? And not just for him, for us too. What happens when you come to God saying, forget happiness, forget joy, forget doing all the wonderful things for me. I owe you because of what you've done for me. What happens to us when we do that with God? Well, you see, the minute he comes to the Father and he says, you don't have to be my Father anymore, just be my King. The King turns into the Father. He says, get my robe, put my robe on him. Get my ring, put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party because here is my child. It sounds scary to give your life to God, but the King is the Father, is our Heavenly Father. This is the message of Jesus. Jesus says, delight in God, love him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength because he is a wonderful father. When you choose to delight in God, when you choose to delight in God each and every day, in big ways and in little ways, when you choose to follow Jesus, you find happiness. You find a blessedness that can never be taken from you. You have God, the God of the universe, as your Father. Do you need a transplant? Do you need to redirect where you're beginning to sink your roots already this year? Have you set your heart on following Jesus in 2015? And so how might you know that? Well, some of these questions might be helpful in diagnosing that. Have you got a daily prayer and Bible reading plan happening already? Have you got that set up already? Well, you know, we're second, third week into the... Is that the direction of your life already this year, that you're opening God's word, you're seeking his face, you're praying to him and laying your anxieties and concerns and needs before him and asking him for your guidance? Have you set your heart and mind on the priority of meeting with God's people this year? In church on a Sunday, in a Bible study group through the week. Again, that's such an important key part of just seeking God's blessing in your life, meeting with other Christians, serving them, letting them serve you, growing up in your faith. Have you set your heart and mind on committing yourself to following Jesus, no matter where he leads you in your work life or your home life this year? Happiness is not something you can just bolt on to an already full life. It's something you choose. It's about who you are and where you choose to put down your roots. Where are you putting your roots down in 2015? As I finished last week, I want to ask you, do you doubt that following Jesus will lead you to blessedness? Jesus is undoubtedly the most blessed of people who has ever walked the face of the earth. And this is because he is someone who practiced what he's preached. He didn't just come and say, oh, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and then go off and do something else. No, he walked the walk, didn't he, as well as talked the talk. And you know that. You see it there in the garden. He was faced with that horrifying prospect of the next day being nailed to the cross and bearing the judgment of God in our place. And what did he say as he was faced with that horrifying prospect? He said, Father, not my will, but yours. He sought to love God with all he had. Everything. It was everything that was being placed on the line at that point, wasn't it? How scary was that? He sought to love us. And what was the result of that? Of setting his heart and mind on the things of God? Do you doubt that he is now the most happiest and blessed of all the people in all the universe? His joy is exceeding, isn't it? Because look at the fruit of loving God. He leads many people into his Father's glory. This morning we get to celebrate with Jesus that Kara has been blessed and been baptized into the family of God and has grabbed a hold of those promises through her parents. How happy is Jesus this morning? And how happy is Jesus for you that he leads you into his Father's glory? It cost him everything, but to him it was actually no cost at all. Praise be to Jesus, and may we find our life and our joy in following his example. Happy New Year. We're going to stand and sing. And we're going to sing and reflect on that very thing that Jesus has done for us before his